29. Experiencing Elocution. Typhon was sitting on a stone, gazing in wonder at the Pacific Ocean. They had named him Typhon, but he didn't feel as though the name truly belonged to him. He wasn't Typhon. He was several people at once. There were voices in his head, bubbling like a brew, but this voice, the one that was thinking at this moment, was his own. Wasn't it? His thoughts had come to him slowly, as though he were waking from a deep sleep. For so long the only other voices he heard were those of his masters. Their commands would rattle around in his skull until he obeyed them. As time passed, more of his own thoughts sprouted up between those commands. And occasionally, he would even have memories. They were dark names and feelings. A mother. Yes, he remembered a mother who had held him as a child. And the feeling of coarse, itchy rope around his neck. Then darkness. Did the memories belong to him or someone else? And he remembered, too, the emotions of those moments. The comfort, the uncertainty. They had tried to turn him into a labourer, but someone had to be there constantly to give him instructions. So they let him wander the island. They fed him when he was hungry, but the soldiers and even the mechanical hounds kept their distance. Every night he would visit Dr. Hyde to be examined. Occasionally there was a stitch that had broken and needed mending.
"Your flesh will eventually grow together," the doctor said one day, "like the regeneration of a lizard's tail. A very exciting scientific discovery, Typhon."
The monster nodded.
"And Lyme tells me you've learned more words. You speak well at times."
"I speak well?"
"Yes, yes, I've heard you speak before. But it's great news that you've retained those facilities. Communicating will be much easier."
"I experience elocution."
"Ah."
The doctor stared at him, dumbfounded, his eyes behind his gold-rimmed glasses so big they were comical. Typhon nearly laughed.
"You use such sophisticated words."
"Yes, I can. I am cognizant of that."
"Marvelous. Simply marvelous,"
the doctor said. Perhaps, Typhon mused, he would crush the doctor's skull. This was the man who had brought him to life. The first face he had seen when his eyes opened. This old, tiny, frail-boned man. Typhon lifted his hands, then lowered them. He chose not to commit the act. It would be an interesting experience, but he had a curious affection for the old man.
"I am very proud of you,"
the doctor said.
"So very proud."
Typhon nodded.
"Who was I? Who were you?"
the doctor said.
"Oh, I see. You have some questions all children ask. Who am I? Why am I here? Very interesting. I didn't expect that. Do you have memories of, how shall I put it, another time? Another you?"
"Sometimes, yes."
"Oh, now that is very interesting. You see, you are not one person, but several. Your brain is an amalgamation. From the grey matter of a man called William Middleton. He was a prospector and a murderer. And another named Duncan McTavish. He was a writer and a murderer. Other brains were required, though I only used smaller portions of those. Do these names mean anything to you?"
"They sound familiar."
But he couldn't picture either of them.
"Well, do tell me if you experience any more memories. Curious that they can live on after the electric charge of life has been snuffed out and reignited. I have more good news, Typhon."
The doctor gestured to the walls around him with a palsied hand.
"Soon you won't be alone."
Typhon looked around the room at the others, frozen in coffins of ice. Would they be his brothers, his sisters, his friends, or his enemies? He should destroy the bodies now. Then he wouldn't have to risk being destroyed.
"You are dismissed, Typhon,"
Dr. Hyde said. He walked out of the cave and along the wet, stony ground. There were always soldiers around, and sometimes that woman with the red hair. and he had once stood before someone called the Guildmaster, a tiny man with a powerful voice. He could not find any older memories of such people inside his head. He did have memories, though, of a wife with a reedy voice. Had he been married? Had he children? Sometimes he would see Lyme. The man with the metal teeth had barked at him and treated him like a dog. He would snuff him out for that. He imagined the event, the glee he would feel. He could do it now, but the hounds and the soldiers would tear him apart. It would not be wise to kill him at this juncture. He would wait. Besides, Typhon was beginning to understand how small Lyme really was. He had not built a palace on this island. He had not given the orders that created Typhon. He walked where the seagulls flew along the edge of the island. He watched the other little birds flit through the air. So pretty. He sat under a palm tree and held out his hand. He held it perfectly still for 3 hours, his breathing shallow and quiet. Finally, a bird with pretty yellow wings landed on it. He watched the bird. It watched him. He couldn't think of the name of the bird. He should know that. Then, with a quick squeeze, he crushed it. "Canary," he said.